Hey, welcome. It's Ed Show number 55.
55, and we're in the remote studio.
Is that what we call the hotel lobby right now?
Otherwise known as the hotel lobby at the Sheraton and, the Westin.
We're at the Westin.
Westin in Kansas City.
Missouri, not Kansas.
Because apparently if you're on one side of the bridge, you're in Kansas City, Kansas.
Kansas, the state,
and the other
yes.
side of the other side of the bridge, you're in Missouri, Kansas.
Yes.
Okay, whatever.
Not Missouri, Kansas. It's
Kansas
Missouri.
City.
It's okay.
What are we doing here, man?
I have no idea.
So it's our turn to do the Edge Show. So we figured, hey, we're on the road. Let's do an Edge Show remotely. So here we are. What are we on the road for, though?
We are on the road for Office Hours Live.
What is that?
Well, so essentially, if y'all remember, we did one of our Jumpstart Office Hours.
MVA Office Q&A live.
Yep. Absolutely. And we've basically taken that same format of doing that live Q&A discussion around Windows Server 2012, Windows 8, on the road. To folks all over the country. We've already been to Houston, Dallas, now Kansas City. I made a quick stop over in Orlando.
We are taking a little bit of a break because we've got this little thing called MMS that's coming up.
Microsoft.
And then we're going to pick back up.
Management Summit.
Coming back up and picking that back up again with Chicago's been firmed up.
San Antonio, Austin. So back to Texas.
There's I want to say Missouri.
No, that's where we are now. It's Madison.
Madison.
Wisconsin.
Madison. Rick's getting a geography lesson.
Anything below the 49th, Rick is just trying to figure out.
You got it. And possibly some Canadian dates and also UK dates as well. So if you want to know more about this, to be able to come up and connect up with us during this tour, you can reach us at the website for more details and scheduling and registration information at aka.ms/officehourslive.
Yep, absolutely. So we've got news.
News.
A couple news items that actually didn't get covered in last week's news. The first one being IE10 and having Flash enabled, particularly on the Windows RT devices, and being able to support those Flash websites. Now, those of you at home might remember that Flash with Windows RT, we essentially had a whitelist. In other words, only sites that were verified and validated to work on Windows RT.
And we flipped that around, so now we only have a blacklist.
Only have a blacklist,
of sites that are known not to work at all, as far as Flash is concerned, on the RT/Windows 8 Flash implementation.
So, and it's implemented by default inside of both experiences. Both experiences.
Lost our backside.
I did. We lost the backside. That's all right. It's not going to work.
Oh, it's your password now.
Yeah, now we're that's all right.
This should say Edge. There we go.
We're 100% professional when we're on the road. Absolutely.
What up?
Also, a corporate store available for Windows Phone 8.
Okay.
If you're leveraging Windows Intune System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 to manage your devices, your Windows Phone 8 devices, you can actually enable a corporate app store, corporate line of business.
So basically, if I have in-house developed apps, I want to go off and make them available to my Phone 8 individuals. I now can publish them and then make them available in a centralized location besides Microsoft Store.
Right, through the Corp App Store on Windows Phone 8.
Okay.
Available, you can download it, add it to your Windows Intune System Center 2012 SP1 pieces as we've got there.
Cool. And we'll obviously have links at the bottom down here somewhere.
it's not quite where it normally is.
We'll have links about all these different resources too.
Let's talk about TechEd.
Okay.
TechEd's coming up very, very quickly. Both TechEd North America, which is in? New Orleans, you lost.
No, I was trying to say what dates, how many days away, weeks away are we?
That's
what I'm thinking.
I think
12-ish, 11-ish.
Stay tuned because, that countdown thing might be starting up soon. So stay tuned for that.
We got asked to do the countdown again.
You weren't supposed to tell people.
I want to let them know. You guys are insiders here.
All right.
They know.
But, of course, early bird registration to save...
$300 or 300 euros.
300 euros for those of you going to TechEd in Barcelona. It's not Barcelona.
No.
It's in
Madrid.
Madrid, Spain.
Madrid.
That ends March 22nd, which if you're watching this now, is tomorrow.
Right. Or March 22nd, Friday.
Exactly.
You never know when people watch this.
That's
People
that's
do
true.
Watch this, I hope.
I don't know about after this episode or not, but... and then finally, one little bit of news is the Edge Show, this very same thing that we're doing. We're going to be doing it...
with a real set. Picture behind us a real set with actual cameras in multiple spots, lights...
And real microphones.
Sound management, real microphones, instead of just my little portable guy. It will be on-site at MMS, shooting 16, 18, 15-ish technical interviews with presenters and community members as well.
Yep, absolutely. Episodes of the Edge Show, so stay tuned for that.
Yep.
You have an interview?
Yes, actually, I pre-recorded an interview because I knew I was going to be on the road. I actually sat down at MVP Summit with Alan Burchill, who's an MVP specialized in group policy.
Ooh, and, I love this group policy.
I had Zach on there earlier, Zachary, talking about what's new in group policy from a product marketing perspective, some new functionality. Well, Alan goes in and digs a lot deeper about some extra functionality and how it works, what you can do, how to set it up, and things like that. So stay tuned after the break. I think I've got the role for the break stuff, but we'll figure that out. After the break, we'll come back and we'll talk to Alan Burchill.
Excellent.
Thanks for joining us. We're in Studio B. It's the first time I have been in Studio B.
And B. If his B is for glue?
It is. Like
the glue background?
This, yeah. I don't know if you can hear it, but this chair is rather squeaky. My name is Rick Laws. I'm here joined by Alan Burchill.
Hey, Rick. How are you?
Not too bad, man. Where are you from? It's a very strong accent. It's almost like my Canadian accent.
Yeah, it doesn't... No, it's definitely not Canadian, although we do share a queen.
That is true.
Yeah, I'm from Australia.
Yes.
Yeah,
Commonwealth.
Yeah.
I had Zach on here. Completely forget his last name. It's blanking on me right
Alexander.
Now. Zachary Alexander was on recently talking about group policy and three new things that were kind of cool in group policy with Server 2012. Specifically, he was talking about remote policy update. You can basically force it on machines.
That's a really great feature.
He was talking about the new integrated tool set that gives you nice reporting stuff that happens. And he's also talking about the convergence of state of replication, I think, were the three things he was talking about.
Some great tools in the new version,
and then
2012.
And then we actually had a shout-out to you in that episode talking about some fun stuff that you've done with the Windows Phone app and then also working with online search services for doing group policy stuff. So tell me a bit about yourself and how you got into this, because you're an MVP.
I'm an MVP, yes, that's right. So I'm a group policy MVP. I'm here to just visiting campus and yeah, you did the shout out, so I thought, hey, I've got some great stuff to show you. What I do, I'm an IT consultant by day.
Yeah.
By night, I'm the author of the Group Policy Central website. I've also made that group policy app you're talking about. So if you want to stay up to date with group policy news and information, it's a great app. Just go to the Windows Phone Marketplace and search for group policy and there it'll be. Download it. It's free.
Nice.
So yeah, but get stay up to date with the latest news and group policy from your phone.
Now, I'm going to, you know, poke a little bit of fun at Zach because, you know, he gave us the light marketing side of stuff. He does work the product group, that sort of stuff. But then you and I were chatting over beer a little while ago saying, hey, I've got a couple of things I want to make sure people know about the differences of the group policy that you get with Windows 8 and with Server 2012. Yep. And you came up with a list of three things. And so what was the first thing you wanted to talk about?
What they've done with group policy deep under the covers, with the group policy service, right? Ever since Windows Vista, that group policy has been spun off. It's been a separate service.
Okay.
And the service is running in the background. And of course, the service is just like a program that runs all the time. So when you've got a service running, it's of course consuming RAM, CPU cycles, even if it's sitting there doing nothing.
It can impact the performance of the machine.
Absolutely. And especially on machines that would have less resources. Or you know, you just want to milk that every extra drop of performance out of your computer. So what they've done with the group policy service is they've really optimized it. They've configured it in a way, and in fact, I can show you here what I'm talking about on my computer.
Okay, this is the first time I've used this area, so I got to figure out, is it camera one? Yes. Okay, there you go. We're live with your screenshot.
So here I am on my computer, and I'm just going to crack open here the services control MMC snap-in. We've all seen this, haven't we?
Nothing new.
Yep. So I'm just going to jump down to the group policy client service here. Oh, no. No, I'm just joking. The group policy client service here, you might have noticed, is configured as automatic. I'm just...
It's not running right now.
No, it's not running, as you can see there. So as you can see here, it's set to automatic, but the status is it's not running. Mm. And for a lot of IT administrators, that would really make them quite worried.
That'd be alarm bells for me.
Because how often do you go in and you sort the column by startup type, and of course you expect all your automatic services to be started and running. But if you notice here, it's set as a triggered start. Mm-hmm. So what Microsoft have done is they've taken advantage of the option to do triggered start on services. And so whenever a group policy refresh is required, it will start the service. It will let that service then run for 10 minutes, and then it will shut the service down, thus freeing up that small amount of memory and, of course, the processing cycles with that service. I think this just goes to show that Microsoft really looked at Windows 8. They did a lot of great refinement with Windows 7 to make it much more performant, but mm-hmm. they've really started to milk the every last drop out of the computer. Now, you might go, well, okay, what could actually trigger that service to start? Well, if we go up here, I've got just launching a command line. And of course, you know the command to refresh group policy.
GP update. /force. That'd be the one I'd be using. On.
Yep. And so what I'm going to do is GP update. Sorry about this. Hang on.
Sorry.
GP update. Just GP update. Don't you have to do /force? Yeah. Force is just using a big hammer when you can use, you know, you don't have to use a big hammer.
It's kind of like using a shotgun to kill a fly.
Exactly. Yeah, I'd rather use a pistol. But we don't have guns in Australia.
So anyway. You got it.
So it's done a group policy update here. And if we go back to the services and I'll do a refresh, look at that. It's now running. Okay. So that service will now run for the next 10 minutes, and then it will shut down and turn off.
Okay.
All right. Great. And you know what happens if I do another GP update? Well, it's already running, so you know you didn't see much delay there with the service starting, but it will stay running in the background. Now,
efficiently using the resources of the machine.
It is. But, of course, group policies refresh.
Yep.
All right. So if the service isn't running, sitting in the background waiting, okay, when do I next run? Mm-hmm. How does it trigger the next service? You might ask.
How do you do that, by the way?
Glad you asked me. So, what I'm going to show here is, over here, I've got just a little script. I'm just going to run it as administrator. It is PSExec. Now, we've all seen PSExec. All right, it's the tool from Mark Rizinovich.
Yeah,
great tool. And what I'm running here is the Microsoft Management Console interactively as the system account.
Oh, okay.
So what happens is that the group policy service will actually create a task schedule, but you can't see it when you normally just open the task scheduler MMC snap in. It's not there because it's running a system. So I'm just going to add the task scheduler here. Remember, I'm running us
as
system account, and can you guess what subtask under here it would be under?
Policies.
Group policies. Funny that.
I think about where they apply. Sorry.
That's all right. So as you can see here, I've got two services here.
Okay.
Next run time, when it's last run, and basically, the actions that it does is just a GP update, once for the user, and once for the computer. Okay, and so that's how it schedules the regular background group policy update while having the service turned off. So it saves system resources and it uses the task scheduler then, rather than having a process sitting in the background doing nothing, to schedule the group policy update in the background.
And that was an architectural change that happened when? Was that specifically for 8 and for 2012, or has that been around for a while but the people didn't know?
So the ability to trigger services was introduced in Windows 7, but specifically for the group policy client service, it's Windows 8.
Yeah.
Server 2012, it will always stay running. Okay, because obviously you probably have a bit
service
more resources.
Yeah,
and domain controllers, group policy updates every 5 minutes, so that never have a chance to sleep.
Okay, very cool stuff.
Yes.
Now, the next thing you brought up for my attention was kind of a flash from the past, something I thought everyone knew was there, but just, you know, this new concept of the modern UI for what is Windows 8 might have confused things. But you were talking about how you've come across people forgetting about using things like AppLocker.
That's right. So, of course, with Windows 8, we've got the new modern style app.
Yes, the interface formerly known as Metro.
Yes. And, of course, in corporate environment, there may be a requirement to have those applications locked down. Maybe you don't necessarily want the camera application to be running in your environment because you don't want people using the camera app taking photos or things like that. Modern apps, in the modern app. Or maybe it's just the modern app version of Solitaire.
Okay.
People used to always uninstall Solitaire from machines. Well, now they can download it from the App Store, of course.
Yeah.
But maybe you want to block that. You know, I don't like blocking things, but as an IT administrator, sometimes you have to.
It's good to know the options there.
So there is an option in AppLocker. We all used to know what AppLocker was in Windows 7, the ability to block applications. But you can now also block applications from the modern application store. Now, it's under AppLocker. So, I'm getting confused here. Windows settings, under security settings, down under application control policies. Okay, and then we have AppLocker. Now, of course, with all things AppLocker related, you should test this in your environment first, because you can do a lot of damage if you start blocking too many things. But the first thing you always have to do with AppLocker is make sure that the correct AppLocker, the rules are enforced for the type of application you're blocking. So
is
this
is
packaged app rules. No, by default, it's turned off. And a lot of people will go in and start blocking apps and wondering why
it's not working.
Yeah. So you have to go in and configure that, and you have to enable it and actually enforce the rules. So we've just done that. And I've got one here, already done, where I've actually explicitly blocked the Microsoft camera application.
Okay.
All right. Now, the way you could do this is, let's say there's another application you want to block. There's a nice wizard that you can go through. You can say, what do you want, allow or deny? Of course, we want to block certain applications. And then if you have a modern application already installed on your machine, so you might want to do this from a Windows 8 machine.
Mm-hmm.
And being a Windows 8 machine, it means you'll need to install the remote server admin tools to get the group policy management console. You can select any modern app, so it's not just the ones that are out of the box, but here you can see all the modern apps that are installed out of the box.
Yeah.
And you can go through and you can select what applications that you want to block. So let's say, for example, here I want to block the music application. I can just select the music application there, selects the details for the app, I create the rule, and now I have a way to block specific applications.
And then it just follows apps. The regular group policy application process next to the refresh
That's
cycle,
right.
Who it applies to, goes off and goes.
Yeah, so the other thing with AppLocker is that other people always forget is the application identity service always needs to be started. Sometimes with AppLocker, people forget to turn that on. That's the service that scans the program before it launches, so it knows which application to block. So really great way if you want to just explicitly control modern apps in your enterprise organization. So that's a really great feature that not many people know about.
Very cool. It's a good refresher.
Yes.
Very good refresher.
AppLocker.
I know that there's also some processes you can go through with a PowerShell script and remove some apps from the main start menu thing, but this goes obviously beyond it because once the AppLocker rule's in place, there's no real way to circumvent it.
That's right. So the group policy will allow you to install and remove the application from your machine. So if you want to deploy a line of business app, but this actually prevents users from downloading the app from the App Store. All right. So if there's specific ones on the App Store that you want to be able to control them downloading, one of the things you could actually block itself is the App Store itself.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So you've got some good control. You know, with group policy, you have a lot of power.
Okay.
So
now the last thing I want to bring up was this one about folder redirection. I haven't really used folder redirection in a long time. That harkens back to the old NT4 days with the home directory. It's gotten a lot more sophisticated, obviously, but what's new with that?
So there's a new feature in folder redirection, or should I say there's a new concept that folder redirection now has, which is a primary computer. So folder redirection, we know, is that the ability to have your folders such as your My Documents directory redirected
your pictures,
to the
your
servers,
and
desktop, whatever. But of course, wherever you log on, then your folders will always follow with you, and you'll probably get a cached copy of those folders left around. And if you've logged onto numerous machines in your organization, you've left these cached copies of these files left on these machines, or maybe you just don't want cached copies of those files left on those machines for whatever reason. Maybe they're not BitLocker encrypted or anything like that. And so they've now got a concept of primary computer. Primary computer allows users to only get folder redirection on specifically named computers. So a primary computer, you can have multiple primary computers, so you can specify a number of them.
Okay.
But let me show you how you configure it, because it's a little bit tricky to actually configure this new feature. So here I'm on a group policy management console. One of the first things we need to do is you need to actually enable the option to actually enable the primary folder on redirected folder on primary computers. As you can see here, the options under system, it's a computer account setting under system, folder redirection, and then you need to enable redirect folders on primary computers only. Now, enabling the setting by itself does not redirect your folders.
It just turns on the functionality.
Just turns on this primary computer option. I've got a people policy here. Sorry, I've got a folder redirection policy here, which I'm going to enable. Not enforce, I want to enable. And so this folder redirection here is just a basic redirection to my documents directory for my account. On my workstation, I'm going to enable this. other policy setting. So I've now enabled the primary, pre-configured there.
Mm-hmm.
But the computer needs to know what is the primary computer for that user. So what we do now is we open up Active Directory Users and Computers. We go into the user account that we want to manage. And this is a great user account here. This guy's got, his name's Alan. So
Popular name.
Okay. But we need to get the distinguished name of the computer that is going to be the primary computer for this user. So I'll go into the computer. Computer's PC01. But it needs to be the distinguished name. And you can kind of figure out what the distinguished name of computer is. But I think it's a lot easier if you just simply go to the attribute editor column here.
Otherwise, it's going to be like a CN equals computer name slash O comma OU equals blah, blah, blah slash. Yeah, and I love DNs.
Yeah, and it's right there. So you can't edit it, of course, but you can copy that. So I've just copied the distinguished name of the computer.
And again, that is just the computer account inside the Active Directory, specifically where it is.
Correct. All right, and I'll go back to the user account, and then again go into the attribute editor. Now, the attribute we're looking for is MSDS primary computer.
Okay.
I've used that one a few times. So we just go down to MSDS primary computer.
I think it's funny how you can have multiple primary computers.
It is a little bit strange. You know, you'd think it'd be secondaries. But, of course, here's the list value.
Yep.
I add it. And I can of course, add more than one. As you can see, it's a list value. But for now, we're just going to use this one. I hit OK there. Now I've configured on the user account the primary computer. So I've set this up for our user. So fingers crossed to the demo gods.
Well, I was also going to say, if you had multiple domain controllers, that attribute change would have to replicate and that sort of stuff.
Absolutely, right. Absolutely. So now I'm going to just, there's a great website in the background there. I don't know anything about that. But I'm going to go back to my user account here. And so you can see my documents directory. It has a couple of test files in there. I'm going to look at the properties of this. It's not redirected at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm going to do a GP update. Force. And of course, because I've got folder redirection, it should
be doing the force this time.
Well, I'm doing the force for a very specific reason. The force is going to trigger because the folder redirection is a synchronous, it's not an asynchronous policy update.
Okay.
It's going to force me, hopefully. Yeah, it's saying that the folder redirection was unable to apply and only applies at reboot. So when you do a force, it's going to say, all right, you need to log off and log back on before this folder redirection will apply.
Okay.
So I'm just going to hit yes there.
Yeah.
It's logging me out. That's a good sign that it asked that. So there you go.
Good thing you know Alan's password, too.
Oh, yeah. He's not very secure. He lives in a post-it note all the time. So I'm now going to go back to documents. And I'm hoping. There we go.
Look at that.
Now, just very quickly, to prove what happens when he's not a primary user, I'm just going to jump back into here. I'm going to deconfigure this attribute. It's easy to find when it's configured.
Yep.
All right.
So now you're simulating the fact that that machine is not the primary one?
Correct. So this is no longer the primary computer for the user account. I'm going to do another GP update force, hopefully.
Same thing as if you logged onto a separate computer.
Correct.
Instead, right?
Yeah. So if I had two computers, one that's not the primary computer, it wouldn't have the folder redirection. So then we'll go back, log off again, signing out. Hopefully that's the unapplying of the folder redirection.
Yeah.
Folder redirection is known to be a little bit finicky at times, but let's have a look.
And again, we're doing this in real time. So
yeah. And there we go. We're back.
Look at that.
So we're back now to the local. Now, folder redirection is enabled for this user account. Folder redirection, however, the primary option has been enabled, so it's not implementing folder redirection for this user
Right. Because
it's not the primary computer. That's why it's not working.
And obviously, again, this applies to what OSs that can do this?
Only Windows 8.
Only Windows 8 can do this selective primary computer redirection of folders.
Correct. So you can get some also troubleshooting. There is some information when you do a group policy results report. It'll tell you if you're a primary user on that computer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good way to troubleshoot, you know, if folder redirection is not applying correctly. So, yeah, it's a great feature. I really love it. I think there's some great use cases for it, and people just need to know about.
Where can people go to get more information on a regular basis about all things group policy? How's that for a grapefruit plug just for you, man?
I have no idea. Oh, look at this. There's a group policy.
Wait, let me switch the camera.
webpage on my computer. Wow. All right, so this is my website, the Group Policy Central.
Yeah.
It's a great website. I basically use it as everything that I learn in group policy I blog about because I keep forgetting how I do things. So I blog about it, and guess what? You know, hundreds of thousands of other people later think the same thing. So.
And what's that URL if you wanted to use your notepad trick?
Yeah. Oh, look at, groupPolicy.biz. There we go. So go to groupPolicy.biz, follow the website. I've got all information about folder redirections, the app locker, the service, and a whole heap of other things there as well, all about group policy.
Well, thank you very much for cutting sessions to be able to come and to do this with me. I really appreciate it. Enjoy your time here in Seattle on the MVP sessions that are going on.
No worries.
Thanks a lot, mate.
Thanks a lot. Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back.
I feel like I haven't even left.
I know. Thanks for staying with us for that that interview. Not too bad. Yeah, for group policy.
Love me some group policy. Always love me some group policy. Hey, remember, make sure you send us your feedback.
Yes.
Multiple ways of doing that on Twitter at TNEdge.
Or you can send us an email at edge@microsoft.com. That one still works.
And of course,
down below,
star ratings and, of course, all of your comments. That's it for Edge Show number 55. We will see you again.
From the remote studio, this is Rick and Joey going out.